We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Lee, here's an investigative project for you.
Okay, great. I need some extra work.
Good.
Here.
This would be great. I will. I cannot wait to hear what you
come
up with.
Something to occupy my time.
Yes, right. National Park Service warning. People are fascinated by this. It literally says, this is advice for how to avoid bear attack.
Yeah.
Please don't. This is the first line of it. Please don't run from bears or push your slower friends down in attempts of saving yourself.
Okay.
So apparently this is something someone had done. Like back in my journalism days, I would have FOIA'd them for all reports or video evidence of people pushing slower friends down to avoid the bear. But then people started to ask some really legit questions on the text line. Like, okay, we hear you. Don't push your slower friend down in an effort to avoid the bear attack. But what you don't tell us is, well, does it work?
Well, can you trip the faster ones that are going by you?
See, that's what some other people... Some people says no. You should push down your faster friend. That would make more sense.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, anyway.
This situation's unbearable.
I know. Just shows you just the mentality of people. Push down my friend. Feed him to the bear.
The question is, has the bear tested positive for COVID-19?
See, that's what's really important. And should we put him down if he does?
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see. Texture writes, my family and I were walking along a trail in Cades Cove. Oh, one of my favorite places on earth. Truly top five. Cades Cove is amazing. It's got the highest density of bears in the whole country. And you can't shoot them there. Not any time of year, right? Because it's federally protected. And they know that. And they're very uppity. So they'll just... No, they do. They
uppity
know
bears.
It. They are very uppity. They just do whatever they want. So you drive through Cades Cove and people go around and around. It's like 11-mile loop and the bears are just walking around. It's like Eden in there. It's really cool. Anyway, my family and I were walking along a trail in Cades Cove in the Great Smokies and encountered a mama bear and her three cubs. I got between her and my family, put my hand on my concealed pistol and backed slowly away from her while taking her picture. Whoa, that's a wow. Really? Okay.
Talking about uppity.
Yeah. Thankfully, she and her cubs just went along their way without any confrontation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, Crash loves bears, and we go there regularly. We just go look for the bears, and we take pictures of them. We don't take pictures with them, but we do take pictures of them.
I do advise you to invest in a telephoto lens, a very large one.
Yeah, I know, right? Oh, makes so much more sense. All right. So, anyway... They're fighting over scraps in Washington. By the way, do you remember the jump? And it happened during the stimulus when we used to talk about like funding for stuff in millions, and then all of a sudden, and it has ever been the same way since we started talking about funding in billions.
Yeah,
all of a sudden, like billion was nothing, and everything that is anything that is going to be funded, it could be rubber band research. It has to be billions now. It cannot be millions.
Right.
We don't do anything with millions. Well, have you noticed now it's jumped to trillions?
Yes, I have.
Did you notice that?
Yes.
Yeah, just add trillion here, trillion there. We wouldn't throw a billion at it. You'd just throw a trillion. Okay. That's...
You're talking about levels that if a person were given $1 trillion, they would have a hard time spending it in their lifetime.
Oh, I could do it.
You would have a hard time doing it.
I know, I would. Yeah, just because the stuff, I mean, just finding high enough priced stuff to buy.
And plus, with these days, with all the coronavirus stuff, you can't get stuff. I mean, there's just... I don't know whether it's they don't have the workers, they don't have the plants running or whatever, but, you know, we've got stuff on order we've ordered for our remodeling. It can't get stuff.
I know. It's so anyway, they're going to spend trillions, right? So Democrats and Republicans arguing about, do we give them the $600 a week?
Yeah.
Which means people can't restart their businesses because they have to compete with the federal government, right? Because people are getting paid more to stay home on unemployment because it's $600 federal plus
the unemployment benefits coming from the state.
State, which for right around half the people is more money than they were making. So they'll do damn near anything to avoid going back to work. And the catch is the way they wrote the federal benefits. Remember Tim Scott and Lindsey Graham upset about this. The way they wrote the federal benefits is, you know, with the state, with state benefits, for the most part, you know, if your boss calls you and goes, okay, come on back to work, and you say, no, I'm not going, your boss turns around, calls the unemployment office, and they yank your benefits.
Right.
Well, not federal. All you have to say is, I'm afraid of the COVID.
Yep.
And you get to keep it. Permanent vacation. Someone my husband knew is on this, is doing this.
Yeah.
And he said, I am living the life. I play golf every day. He told my husband, this is the best time I've ever had. He's like, I'm making, you know, a little more than I did. And he's my buddies and I, we go play golf. We hang out.
Okay.
Right. Now there's people all over the country doing this, right? So the Democrats want to keep this up. Republicans are like, no, let's bust it down to $200 or $400. Let's not give them $600, which legit is getting in the way of, I mean, so now you're, you know, say you're a bar owner, right? Now you got to pay your bartender more than you were before because you got to pay more than the government's paying them to stay home, you know, and you can't afford to reopen the business because you're in competition with Nancy Pelosi. So it's a big mess.
Yes, it is.
But there's the other side, and this is problematic. If they don't get a package put together, I mean, the eviction protection ended on the 31st of July. And if they don't get a package put together and give those who legit need the money more than the unemployment money, you're going to see people in soup lines. I mean, that'll be the imagery going into the election.
Yeah.
It'll be bad. People are going to lose their houses, try to sell their children. I mean, I don't know. But it'll be bad. And so it's kind of a catch 22 where they are. Nancy Pelosi knows this, and that's why she wants to stick with the 600, knowing full well she can keep the unemployment rate really high going into the election because people just won't come back to work, even if their boss is begging them. On the other hand, I mean, and nobody cares about bankrupting the country. Nobody cares.
No,
about that. That is a just very distant secondary concern.
Nobody but Rand Paul.
Yeah, he's the only one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Peter Morici makes another point, right? There's the flip side of this. If we don't pay off the electorate, Trump could well lose. This is economist Peter Morici explaining why.
We're going to have a big third quarter number because of what's already happened. But if you look at Google tracking data and so forth of people's activities, what's happened is the economy has come up and now it's leveled off. We're still at a lower level than we were before the crisis. People are not doing more than they're doing more now than they were in April, but they're not doing as much as they did in January, and things have leveled off. Now you take away the weekly payments to 30 million people who are collecting them in one form or another, and the economy turns south. So my feeling is that they'll be able to brag on a good third quarter number. But if they see unemployed people unable to pay their rent, going to food pantries, not being able to buy groceries, that's going to have a negative effect. And that's what Nancy Pelosi's trying to do. She's basically trying to hold the economy hostage. Give us the whole liberal agenda. There's all kinds of stuff in her bill that makes no sense to be discussing now. But she's basically trying to hold the economy hostage to keep Trump from getting reelected. It is a terribly cynical thing she would do. Let me ask you this, or ask the public this. Why vote for a politician that would throw the economy into the abyss to get their way? It's much like it's basically a white collar version of the street demonstrations in Seattle.
There's one thing to remember about this. It's not just that the consumer isn't spending. It's why the consumer isn't spending, because you've still got things shut down and limited. You're still limiting the capacity of businesses. You're still limiting. I mean, we've got the high school league trying to get past the governor's 250 or 50% occupancy thing on sports arenas for high school football. 250 fans for a high school football game? Seriously?
Yeah, and I mean, schools are not buying the back-to-school stuff. That study just came out. I mean, that's...
Well, parents aren't buying it.
I know. You go to the stores crazy.
Well, I mean, if you're keeping your kids home, why buy anything for back-to-school?
I know, but normally by now it's all picked over. You can go in there and get that creme de la creme, like the stuff that used to be, you know, ripped off the shelves by mid-July, you know? It's all out there. It's discounted. It's great. Nobody cares.
But this is still government imposed, and it is state government imposed. It is not federal government. It is not Donald Trump's fault. It is state government imposition. I mean, good grief. Look what they're doing in New York in our top of the hour newscast. New York setting up checkpoints. They're setting up checkpoints. Show us your papers. Where are you from? What are you doing here? Los Angeles cutting off power and water if somebody has a house party. Go ahead and riot in the streets. Have yourself a protest, but don't you dare have a birthday party. We'll cut your power and water off. Good grief.
Me, all of this while Cuomo begs rich people. Did you see that headline? Not to flee New York because they're fleeing in record numbers. They can't live there anymore.
Why would you want to?
I have no idea. I mean,
Greenville's a nice place. But I have no desire to live in any city. In any city. Now, this is nice here. I mean, this you could entice me possibly, but I'm sorry.
Yeah, but you live in a bunker. Out in the country, you know what I mean? With cows and stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you're that kind of person, which is great. I hope to be that kind of person someday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
After assuring us that he is Biden, anyway, constantly been tested for cognitive decline, like all the time. I'm always tested. That was a few weeks ago. He must have forgot that part. Here's what he says now.
Have you taken a cognitive
test? No, I haven't taken a test. Why the hell would I take a test?
Okay, either forgot the cognitive decline test he takes regularly, or he was lying back then and forgot he was lying. Or, I don't know. Let's jump in with Corey Lewandowski, senior advisor to the Trump campaign. Corey, what's up with Biden?
Well, we all know what's up with Biden. We know that he doesn't have the mental capacity to serve as the most important officer of our land, the leader of the free world, the president of the United States. We all know that. Whether you believe when he told us 130 million Americans had died from COVID-19, by the way, that's a lot of people, 130 million, not exactly the case, or the fact that this guy just wants to continue to hide in his basement, we have seen time and time again that Joe Biden's wife is actually answering more questions from the press than he is.
Whoa. That's nuts. Well, is Biden going to debate, or are you guys going to force him to debate? What's going on with that?
Well, it's a great question. Right now, the Presidential Debate Commission has the first debate scheduled for September 29th. The earliest ballots are going out right after Labor Day, call it September 3rd, September 4th, which means if Joe Biden participates in the debates as currently scheduled, tens of millions of people could have already cast their ballots. So we've asked the Presidential Debate Commission to do one of two things. Either add another debate, and so that we're debating on Labor Day, or simply restructure the debates so that they're not so weighted towards the end of the cycle. But because of the world of COVID-19, we believe tens of millions of people have voted, and Joe Biden has an obligation to prove to the American people that he has the cognitive to stand on the debate stage with Donald Trump and articulate his messages. I don't think he's going to do it. I truly believe Joe Biden is going to skip the first presidential debate on September 29th. The second debate is actually the vice president's debate. And then the third debate would be Joe Biden again. That would be the middle to end of October. And by that point, literally tens of millions of people will have voted.
Corey Lewandowski, you're a senior advisor to the Trump campaign. What polls should we believe? I mean, we looked at, you know, just in the last week, Trump comes in at 51% approval among likely voters, a full 7 points higher than Obama on the same day in his presidency. Yet we're told, that Biden is beating Trump like a drum. Then there's this, Britain's Sunday Express does polling in the U.S., and they show Trump winning the popular vote, which he did not do last time. What's real and what's not? What should people listen to and what should they tune out?
You know, in 2016, the poll that was the most accurate was IBD, or Investors Business Daily. It was the most accurate poll in the country up until Election Day. They predicted Donald Trump would win by about 3 points, and so they were accurate. If you look at all the others, really, I like the Rasmussen numbers. They've been very accurate to where our internal numbers are as it relates to the president's approval rating. But really, the only poll that matters is that on Election Day. Because if you go back and you look at the last seven presidential elections, the mainstream media, or the legacy media, as sometimes they're referred to as, have always predicted the Democrats were going to win. Now, half the time they're right, because Barack Obama won twice. But they get the race wrong when George H.W. Bush was running against Michael Dukakis in 1988. You know, you go back to that race, and the New York Times predicted in July of 88 that Michael Dukakis was going to win the race by a margin of 55-38, that the Duke was the next president of the United States. Obviously, we know that didn't happen. They've been wrong time and time and time again with no accountability. So I think the American people are very, very smart. They're tired of the media telling them that Donald Trump can't win, that he's not going to win. The silent majority is very, very real. They go out and they continue to support this president because of the support that the president has been giving them with two very simple words, America first. It doesn't mean America alone, but it means we're going to take care of Americans first. That was a pledge the president made and something he followed through on. And I think the voters are going to reward him on Election Day in November.
Speaking of, though, I mean, are we going to be able to have a fair election, Corey Lewandowski? Because, I mean, the stuff that's coming from the mainstream media right now is terrifying. 1 out of 4 ballots thrown out in New York. This is just NBC this morning. U.S. has 2 weeks to get mail-in voting right to avoid a mess on Election Day. Like, how big of a mess? NBC quotes a Stanford law professor. Listen to this. He believes that if Congress fails to act and the election is close, the results may not be known and the decision on who wins may go to the Supreme Court. MSNBC's told us that. NBC's told us that. I mean, it's like the Democrats want to do mail-in balloting to create such a confusion we can't figure out who won to knock it into the Supreme Court or Congress. I mean, it's really scary reading this stuff. Can you tell me what you think about it all?
It is scary, and you have to look at a couple things. We still don't have the election results from Carolyn Maloney's race in New York, which was 6 weeks ago, that primary, because they can't count the ballots yet. In February of this year, the Democrats couldn't count the ballots for the presidential election caucus that took place in Iowa. It took them a week to determine who the winner of the Iowa caucus was, and we want to give them the opportunity to hinge the balance on the future of our country by having an all mail-in ballot system. I mean, we are asking for a problem, and the very real potential, if this goes forward, is that we don't know the election results for 6 or 8 weeks, which would really cause immense turmoil in our country. I think it's a terrible idea to have an all mail-in ballot system. That being said, there are states like Florida that have a permanent absentee ballot, and what that means is, you as an individual have signed an affidavit saying either I can't be there on Election Day, I've got an ailment, or I'll be out of town, and so I want my ballot mailed to me. We support that 10,000%. What we do not support as a campaign is simply mailing a ballot to any person who's ever lived at 123 Maple Street, whether they've been there for a week or haven't lived there in 20 years, whether they're alive, dead, or their pets are still there. We do not support that type of outreach by the states and that type of what we call ballot harvesting.
Yeah, but okay, so Florida's fine, but I mean, looks like these Democrat states, I mean, looks like Pennsylvania, other states that Trump won last time, I mean, they're going forward with this. How do we stop? I mean, you know there's going to be a massive amount of fraud. That's all they do is cheat in these states. How are we going to stop that? Can we?
Look, unfortunately, a significant portion of this is driven by state governments, and the electioneering is one of those things. Now, we have an obligation as the federal government to oversee it and make sure there's integrity. Unlike in 2016, where Barack Obama and Amy McCabe and Brennan and Comey and Clapper, they allowed foreign entities to interfere in our election cycle. They were the guys on the watch at the time, and they failed. This president is not going to allow that to happen. So we're going to make sure that we've got Election Day activities that are in place. We've got court cases that make sure that we are established to show that these ballots must be sent to registered voters, to people who are actually alive and not dead, not to people's pets. We're going to make sure through every means possible that states aren't allowed, and we've seen these stories of just mailing ballots to anybody who's ever lived at an address, regardless of how long ago it was.
Talking to Corey Lewandowski, senior advisor for the Trump campaign. Corey, got time for one more question. What would you tell all of America if you could right now? What do we need to know?
Look, I think you have an obligation as an American, if you care about either homeland security, national security, or economic security, to return Donald Trump to the White House. He built the greatest economy that the world had ever seen, and he's rebuilding it now. The NASDAQ hit a new high again yesterday. If you care about our homeland security, this president has been building that wall, and his philosophy is very simple. We're going to close our borders, and we're going to open our schools. And lastly, if you care about our international security, our national security, this president has rebuilt our military and given the men and women in uniform the pay raises they deserve. So if any of those issues matter to you as a proud American, you have an obligation to send Donald Trump and Mike Pence back to the White House.
You know, I'm going to break my own rule. One more question here, Corey Lewandowski. This kind of scares me. I mean, Trump, to me, it looks like I don't know how he's going to get his message out. He can't do the rallies anymore because they'll get attacked by Black Lives Matter on the way in. And then there's the COVID thing. Even though he got, you know, almost 24 million viewers on that last rally online, he's being attacked on social media. At the rate he's going, he's not going to have an account by Election Day. I mean, what the Democrats have effectively, looks to me, routed him from getting his message out. Do you have an alternative? How can he communicate with the public?
Look, the president's going to be in Ohio today at the Whirlpool facility, and he's going to be able to talk to people directly. Those people he's going to talk to are going to be the local media. He's going to be able to talk to the people in Ohio, and we have to continue to get the president out to talk about the successes that he's had. The rallies in the 2016 campaign cycle were enormously successful, but because of COVID now and all the other issues taking place, we may not be able to do them the same way. So we need the president to continue to do things like call into Fox and Friends, call into your radio shows, call in to bypass the mainstream media who continues to filter and lie about his record. We need the president to be as aggressive as he was in 2016 talking to the media as he is today. That's what we need him to do in order to be successful.
Amen. Corey Lewandowski, senior advisor to the Trump campaign. Thank you so much for joining us today on 106.3 WORD.
Thank you.
God, they got to stop this. They have got to stop this COVID crap. 1.18 million Americans filed new unemployment claims last week. This is just a bloodbath. This has got to stop. What if there was a way to stop it? Well, there isn't. We don't have a cure. Or do we? Folks, need to pay attention the next couple of days to the news whenever you hear the word hydroxychloroquine. Because this stuff's eventually going to hit Fox News. I know they're sifting it through their newsroom right now. There is big stuff going on with hydroxychloroquine. And it is scandalous stuff going on with hydroxychloroquine. And a lot of it has started with Professor Risch, the Stanford University medical doctor and virologist. He's a professor at their medical school, world-renowned virologist, and some documents that he found on the FDA site. I've got in my hand this. And once I read this to you, you'll understand why 1,300 doctors and virologists wrote a letter to Donald Trump back in March. Remember he started talking about hydroxychloroquine? And they were trying to tell him, look, we can save lives if we use this. It's not a cure, but what it is very much like strep throat. You know, strep throat, if we didn't have anything to treat it with, it would kill a lot more people. It'd make a mess of a lot of people. We can't cure strep throat, but we can use amoxicillin on it pretty well. Do some people still die of strep? Well, the next phase disease anyway? Yeah, they do, but not many. It's very rare. It's not a perfect cure, but we can treat it. And they were saying, look, hydroxychloroquine does the same. 1,300. That's where Trump got the idea. In that letter, They refer to a study published in the journal Virology. Published by who? Our own National Institutes of Health. It was on using hydroxychloroquine to treat, this was 2005, to treat SARS-CoV-1. What's SARS-CoV-1? Well, it's the first SARS. The virus we have now is SARS-CoV-2. They are 80% genetically identical. Wow. And they use hydroxychloroquine to treat SARS-CoV-1? Yes, it was highly effective. Dude. I'm reading from the study right now. Hydroxychloroquine has strong antiviral effects on SARS-CoV infection of primate cells. By the way, SARS-CoV-1 was also a novel coronavirus. In other words, it was new. We hadn't seen it before, didn't have much, you know, viral protection from it. The inhibitory effects are observed when the cells are treated with the drug either before or after exposure to the virus, suggesting both prophylactic and therapeutic advantage. Favorable inhibition of virus spread was observed. This is what they used to treat SARS-CoV-1. The study dubbed it an effective pre- and post-infection antiviral agent for SARS-CoV. Dude, why aren't we using it now? Well, see, there's a little problem with using it. If we were to use it to treat this in the way we used it to treat SARS-CoV-1, and by the way, the Henry Ford Hospital study, which has not been retracted from a medical journal, like the first study saying that hydroxychloroquine was deadly. Yeah, that study was retracted. Yet, Dr. Fauci's NIAID and the CDC is still using that study to recommend non-treatment with hydroxychloroquine. They are ignoring the studies since, including the study that showed a 61% reduction in deaths. Interested in that if you get COVID? Nah, I can't try it. Well, wait, why not? We used to use it. Yeah, I know. Folks, this is what people are going to figure this out. They are withholding the cure for this, essentially the cure, the mitigation for it from the American people to drive up the deaths. But they're withholding it for another reason. This country. The problem is, and this is the document that the Stanford doctor got a hold of. It's an FDA document. And here's what it does. It says that, you know, they want to skip a lot of the trial process for this vaccine, bring it right to market. With protection for the companies that bring it, so you can't sue them if they screw you up with it. But they won't be allowed to skip the trials if there's another effective treatment. You can't get the emergency authorization for remdesivir or the vaccine if there's an effective treatment. And hydroxychloroquine is, according to the NIH's own study published in the Virology Journal. So they had to get rid of it. And they did. This is why they put the brakes on folks using it. Because if there was an effective treatment, you could use that and they couldn't get the vaccine approved. Here's Dr. Zev Zelenko. He did one of the early studies on hydroxychloroquine and COVID-2, which is the one we have now. He managed to reduce deaths by 91% and hospitalizations by 85% in his study. That's interesting. Can we try it? No. Because if doctors are allowed to use it, they can't get approval to skip the vaccine trials. See, with a vaccine, you could keep the economy or parts of it shut down much longer as we wait for it. Or we could just end it today. Anyway, these documents are coming out in the next couple of days. You're going to see this on Fox News. You're going to see this debated. I don't know how much longer they can hold doctors back from using this, given what's coming out. Dr. Zev Zelenko, yesterday on War Room, wants folks to know that Fauci et al. Have studies, including one they published themselves, not him personally, but his agency, showing hydroxychloroquine works. Talked about that in the last segment. You can go back and get it on the podcast. And that the reason they have gone to such great lengths to deny it as a treatment is because if a treatment is available, they got a problem. They can't fast track the vaccine or the remdesivir. But we wouldn't need the vaccine or the remdesivir if we use hydroxychloroquine. No, we wouldn't. He's just the latest of many doctors to say denying hydroxychloroquine to the population is literally killing people.
There's no reason to close the economy. There's no reason to have a body count of over 150,000 dead Americans. And the only reason why this happens is Dr. Fauci and the forces that he represents do not want hydroxychloroquine to have an emergency use authorization, because if that's the case, the drugs like remdesivir and the vaccines cannot, by FDA internal standards, get an emergency use authorization. I'll read you. It says there's no adequate, approved, and available alternative. So if hydroxychloroquine is available, the drugs like remdesivir and the vaccines, by their own internal rules, cannot get an emergency use authorization. There's 150,000 dead Americans because people like Dr. Fauci have attempted to push through drugs like remdesivir and vaccines because those are the money-making drugs and not a drug that's worth, that costs 50 cents a pill.
Wow. It's a mess. Dr. Elizabeth Vlett, who will be on this show later on in the week, weighed in on that as well. Her group was the one that sent, it's American Surgeons and U.S. Surgeons and Physicians, the letter signed by 1,300 surgeons and physicians begging President Trump to intervene and allow them to use hydroxychloroquine. 1,300. Folks, there's something up with this.
The Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, and within 48 hours, we had 1,300 physicians and healthcare professionals from across the country signing the letter that I drafted and gave to Senator Johnson to let him work it at the way he thought it should be done. And he took that to the president that talked about this very issue. Hydroxychloroquine was known at studies at NIH and CDC 18 years ago that it worked well against the SARS coronavirus 1 in the early stages in the in vitro studies that were done that showed it stopped the virus from binding to the cells and from the virus from replicating. They knew that. It was done at CDC and NIH. There's no way. It was published by the Journal of Virology in 2005. Why is it 15 years later and we now have the leader of the task force, both Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx, discrediting hydroxychloroquine when their own agency studies showed that it had effectiveness in cell cultures against this virus? And the studies, China and South Korea were using it successfully. They shared the data with India and Turkey and Iran. They were all using it successfully. China sent hydroxychloroquine to Turkey and Iran back in December.
Dr. Vlett?
And why is it that we are sending doses of hydroxychloroquine from the national stockpile to Brazil to help Brazil,
right,
and they're getting control of their death rate? And yet American citizens are denied access to this FDA-approved drug because the politicians, the governors, have interfered and because the FDA is delaying approval.
We literally were sitting on 100 million doses of hydroxychloroquine. We had to get rid of them. So we sent them to Brazil. We're down to, we've sent them to a couple other places too. We're down to 60 million. Crazy, huh? Go look at the death rates for the places that she mentioned. They're significantly lower than ours. So they're using this all over the world now. But not here. Not here. Can't even debate it. Which is how, by the way, you know it works. When you say anything good about hydroxychloroquine, you will get shut down on social media. They might even take your account. Why? Because they know it works. That's why they censored and pulled down the videos of the doctors. Remember the white coats last week, the big summit that went for 2 days? Censored doctors just begging for the opportunity to please let us use hydroxychloroquine. We're standing here. We're not wearing masks because we all have access to it and we're not afraid. Why'd they have to pull that down? Why is that so scandalous you can't see it? Unless it's true.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.